C1AP. Number 5A.
I think the students have up to now got a good sense of the word order, because naturally the word order is very fundamental to the study of the science of Christian Science. But already when one comes to the Christ order, one has a feeling that Christ order is more difficult to grasp spiritually, that one takes that Christ order much more in a memorized way and says, oh yes, that Christ order has another sequence of the seven synonymous terms. Oh yes, that Christ order starts with principle and then comes life, truth and love, and then comes soul, spirit, mind. But naturally, this doesn't do anything. These are moonbeams that try to melt the North Pole. They don't achieve anything. One must naturally get into a spiritual atmosphere what that Christ order really is, what its office is, and so to say get the spiritual atmosphere, even the spiritual impact of that Christ order. And that's not easy to teach, because something that one can only show, it's something that the student has to culture within himself until he feels the impact of that idea. So I will just quickly go over the Christ order, well knowing that I can only bring it out in words, and that the main point about this, that one touches the spirit of it. What is the office of the Christ order? Well, the Christ we have seen is that divine message from God to man. It's therefore the divine power that comes from the infinite principle to each situation, to each individual, bringing to each individual the whole magnitude of that divine principle. Now, we can't call that down and say, all right, if I go through the Christ order, then the divine power of the divine principle comes down to me. It is much more so that one opens one's consciousness to the influx of that Christ idea and that Christ order, because that's the standpoint from which we really can receive the influx of the divine principle. Because you know that the Christ order starts out with principle, ends with mind. And here, especially in those seven messages, we have seen that the point of mind is that point where we are not lukewarm, but that we are open, that we knock at the door, that we have consecration to the idea, where therefore everything within us is receptive for the idea to flow in. When do we go along with the Christ order? At which point, so to say, of our spiritual attitude does the Christ order come into action? It always comes into action when the word order is well established within us. The Christ order is the second side of the Holy City, it's not the first side. We cannot go out from the Christ order. If through our whole study and life we have not established a certain sense of the word within ourselves. So that's why in the teaching of this science, John Dorley and we have given so much time and so much weight to the Christ, to the word order, and much less perhaps to the other orders, because that word order is fundamental. Therefore, in the measure as we build up in consciousness the word order and build up the nature of God as mind, as spirit, as soul, as principle, life, truth and love, and build up that consciousness within us, then is the time ready, the time at hand, for opening our consciousness wide, opening wide, and say, let it happen, let it happen, let it be. That's our attitude, to open our consciousness, to knock at the door, and then it will be opened. And the Christ impact will use us in a harmonious, constructive way. But that's only the attitude. Why then the order? The order is that when we open ourselves to that expectancy that the Christ idea may work within us, that when we open that consciousness, we can say, so to say, what is going to happen within us, so there is no resistance within us against the Christ idea. We can therefore flow along the Christ order and can see that that which we have established in the word order and is established as the whole nature of God has a Christ, has an idea. And I come to the Christ. I see the word has a Christ. What does it mean that the Christ has an idea? That means that the Christ has an aim, has set an aim, has set the purpose, that Christ says, I'm going to manifest that which the Word of God wants to bring out in each situation. It is therefore that absolute willingness not to have any preconceptions about what is going to happen and how it is going to happen and when it is going to happen. It is that complete openness to let the divine principle operate. And so my thought begins to go along the Christ order. And I see, let that principle operate freely. Let that principle with those seven stars in the right hand operate according to what principle wants to bring out, not what I want to demonstrate. Let principle operate what principle has in view. That's principle's idea. What principle aims at, let that be established within me. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is. I only need to know that principle has the highest idea possible and therefore is going to bring out the highest possible within me. Why? And so my thought goes along that principle and says, because that principle wants to live, wants to express itself, wants to bring out its idea. So I get the tremendous sense of life, that principle alone is life. That alone that principle can live my true life. I cannot live principle, but principle lives me. And only then if I see that principle operates as life, and my life, I have gone along with the Christ order. That life is of the nature of truth. And I begin to see that that principle, which is life alone, knows what is true about the situation. That alone has the consciousness of truth, that knows what and when and how it is going to demonstrate itself. And I get a tremendous sense that that principle as truth is the consciousness of God. And I flow along that thing, and you can see in this way, I open up my consciousness, I don't put opposition up, I don't make any opposition to it, I have no preconceived notion what should happen, I'm absolutely free to let truth bring out what truth knows. But I know that that which truth knows is of the nature of love. It is of the nature of giving me the highest possible, the maximum of good. I know that that principle therefore comes to me as love, as that which says, I know what you need. I know what is right. I know what is right in the big plan of God. I alone, principle, know what is love in your situation. I, principle, alone know that love which knows what has to happen, when it has to happen, how it has to happen, through which channel it has to happen, in which form it has to happen. That's the tone of love. I know that love has the maximum of good in store for me. And so again, I free myself from all preconceptions and limited conceptions, and I let principle demonstrate that which principle wants to demonstrate. Can you see that? And as I contemplate that in the way of that divine principle which has life, truth, and love, wants to bring out the best for every situation, I begin to realize that that naturally must be a leaven that is going to leaven my whole situation. That it's going to overturn and overturn and overturn. Can you hear the tone of soul? Huh? That reforms, that transforms, that exchanges. Huh? And therefore I feel I must be willing to let all the overturning happen, that I don't resist the overturning. Here comes in usually the danger that we don't like changes, that we don't like to transform ourselves. And soul says, no, you know, those seven spirits and those seven lamps are identical. The seven synonymous term and the seven numerals of infinity must be identical. You must let that in which is identical to the divine principle, life, truth, and love, and not resist it, and let that reform and transform and exchange and model anew and reform whatever needs to be reformed and overturn until it comes whose right it is. What is that which must come? I don't know what. Only God knows. Because God is spirit. And spirit is infinite diversification and classification. It really can take every situation and put it into its right place and into its right categories, and therefore can bring out that which God has foreseen. And that's the Philadelphia state of thought, where God opens and no man shutters, and where God shutters and no man can open it again. That transformation of soul comes to us in every classification, every ways and means. It can use anything to bring about the manifestation. So I begin to realize that I must be ready, that any situation can change, and I let it happen. So that finally I feel, therefore, there is nothing that can resist the divine idea in me. I'm free from it. I'm really no more lukewarm. I'm hot as hot can be. I accept what comes to me. Then we are hot. And I accept the decision of God. I accept what God manifests in me. And I don't resist it anymore. And in this way, we are letting the Christ order manifest itself in us. Can you see that? It is, so to say, a passive state, which is very active. It is a receptive state, which is very active in going along with the Christ translation. So it's a very different thing than the word order. The word order is an active thing. It builds up in consciousness. What is mind? What is spirit? What is soul? What is principle? What is life? What is truth? What is love? And when it has built it up, it says, all right, let it happen. And it opens up our consciousness and lets it in without any preconditioning. It makes no condition. And then the birth can go on. Well, that is what the Revelator saw with those seven messages. But those seven messages are actually a very short description of that Christ translation, and only shows the main aspect of it and not the details of it. So after having shown these seven messages, he gives now seven visions. And so we come to the seven visions, and those seven visions are again presented in the Christ order. You have them starting with page 4 on the blue study material. But before we go through these seven visions, I first want to give you an overall view of those seven visions, just an overall view. And perhaps you take this blue sheet, which should be page 15, which you have got, the summary, and perhaps we just go quickly over the top lines, not through the columns, just on the top lines, horizontally, from one vision to the next, and I explain you a little bit what these visions are, so that we first have an overall view and a red thread that is running through those pages. All right. What is the vision of principle? It is elaborating really on the first message to the churches, principle. And he begins to depict first what that principle of divine metaphysics is. He gives an overall picture of the principle of divine metaphysics. He shows there first that there was one sitting on a throne. You have the one principle. That one principle really operates through 24 questions and answers to the 24 elders, that there is a scientific metaphysics of ideas, that those 24 questions answer are the four beasts with six wings, 4 times 6 is 24, and depicts those four. It shows that principle of divine metaphysics is based on the seven spirits, on the seven synonymous terms, and that is all taken together and sealed in a book, in a science. So that vision of principle, so to say, gives us the tools with which we work in divine metaphysics. The one, the four, the seven, the 24. All packed together in a book, in a teaching, in a science. Sealed. Then we come to the next vision of life, and it is shown how now the life in the vision opens the seven seals of that book. So we have here the opening of the seven seals, so to say, an analysis of the sevenfold nature of God. He analyzes through the 1,000-year periods the nature of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And when it comes to the sixth seal, then Mrs. Eddy says this has reference to the present age, to the 6,000-year period. Then we come to the vision of truth, the next vision, where now the seven angels sound the seven trumpets, and with a trumpet you have a sense of uncovering error. So after the analysis of being, we come to the uncovering of error, and we have seven trumpets, each one uncovering the counterfeit of the nature of God. So with each trumpet we get the counterfeit of mind, and then the counterfeit of spirit, and the counterfeit of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And when the sixth angel sounded with his trumpet, then we get there that 10th chapter of Revelation, which Mrs. Eddy takes, with the little book that is open, and which presents and prefigures divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So that in that sixth trumpet, really truth uncovers false sense of science and brings to the forefront the idea of Christian science. Then comes the next vision of love, which, as we have seen in the message to the churches, is really condemning the Jezebel state of thought, the wrong woman sense. Here it is the true woman sense. It is that 12th chapter in Revelation with the God-crowned woman bringing forth the child, namely science, showing how the dragon is right on the heel of the woman, trying to destroy and to swallow up the child as soon as it was born, and how the woman saves the idea of science, and how then the dragon was cast out. Showing there really what Mrs. Eddy calls the divine method of warfare. This will be one of the central points in our discussion. What is the divine method of warfare in science? Also, in that vision of love, it will be shown that that science must be not only believed in, not only do we need to have faith in it, but that it should be understood. And that only when it is understood that science is alive. And if we do not understand science, then the Bible and the textbook are dead as a dodo. And therefore only understanding can, so to say, resurrect those two books so that they live. Then we go in Revelation to the next vision, the fifth vision of soul. And you see there at once, it has to do with the vision of pouring out the seven vials so full of wrath, and showing the annihilation of error, showing the nothingness of error. So in life it was analyzing, in truth it was uncovering, and here in soul was the annihilation of error. Now the moment understanding of the nothingness of error, error is annihilated, we are free from all error. And therefore the next vision, the vision of spirit, does no more show how to deal with error. No error rises up anymore, but the whole vision is full of presenting the city of spirit, the divine infinite counters of spirit, how the idea operates as a four-sided calculus, and we get the word Christ, Christianity, and science in absolute Christian science and in divine science. And then finally Revelation has a seventh vision of mind, which again, like in the last message to the church, says, well, this Christ flows and flows and flows. But the point is, are you going to accept it or are you not going to accept it? That is the main point in that vision. Are you receiving this vision? Are you loving that vision? Do you take that vision? Do you take it in? Then it will be your eternal Savior. So that is just the big line. Can you see the big line? I just pinpoint it quickly again. It is showing principle, what constitutes the principle of metaphysics. Then, with this principle of metaphysics, you can, at the point of life, the next vision, analyze what God is. The seals are open. Then in the next vision, with this knowledge of the word order, you can uncover the opposite of God, the counterfeit of God. Then with the vision of love, you can see that you can take that vision and mother it. And by mothering that vision, you can bring forth yourself the idea of God, which enables us to do what? In the next vision of soul, enables you to handle animal magnetism to the nth degree. You can handle then the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and pour out the vials until everything is seen, every evil is seen as nothing. Then you enter the vision of spirit. If there is nothing in your consciousness anymore that is of the nature of evil, thought is absolutely free for the divine infinite calculus, without any restriction, without any obstacle, and so the holy city opens up, and heaven was open, and I saw a new earth and a new heaven. There was no more sea. That's there, see. So that the whole thing is the last vision. Are you going to accept it, or aren't you going to accept it? It's up to you. If you accept it, you experience it as harmony. If you don't accept it, you experience it just the same, but as suffering. Yes, that's the overall story.